Canucks Central Thursday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintec studio. Kintec, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet? What are you waiting for? Visit kintec.net. This hour of Canucks Central brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Every Vancouver hockey game gets $5 pints of Molson Canadian or Coors Light, plus weekly prize giveaways all season long at your local Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. You can be a part of the program, 650-650 on the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. And if you have any suggestions for the little kink in my neck that I got today, that would be helpful. I don't know. There may be points of the show, Sat, where I just go, like a little grunt or something, because like, I don't know, the last 2 hours, I don't know what I did, but all of a sudden it's just like I move my head in the wrong way and I'm like, ugh.
You can't turn just left
immediately
right now.
Tensed up. So I can't turn right, so it's a good thing you're to my left.
Okay.
But if I have to go to my right, it's like you got to do the whole like move the whole body thing, because like I can't. Do you can't make any sudden movements over to the right side?
Do you have like a massage gun or anything at home?
Like the Theragun thing or whatever it's called? Yeah. No, I do not.
Yeah. They're really good.
I haven't made the investment.
They're worth it.
I wonder sometimes, like, can you get the dollar store version for like the $40 one? Is it still the same thing?
I mean, I'm sure you can find something on Amazon. I don't know how close to the proper one it is or whatever, but I find like if you go to your lower back and you loosen up from there, it usually helps out.
Okay.
Maybe massage your neck later, the top of your neck, you know, behind your ear.
Something's going to have to happen because this is a very uncomfortable way to live. But we... You know, we're playing hurt today, all right? Do I get brownie points for this? I don't know.
He'll host. You know he'll host. He'll host on crutches.
He's like Quinn Hughes playing through a massive hand injury, gutting it out to keep Canucks Central afloat.
Yeah, the opposite of somebody. You know what? I'm not going there. Let's open on Canucks Central.
Welcome to the open.
Oh! That's your home! Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
We'll save that discourse for another day. It is Canucks Central, the open, where we bring in the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. And Sat, we have returned. Multiple seasons have passed, but we are back to a season that Vancouver Canucks fans know very well. And that is moral victory season. A 2-1 overtime loss to the Washington Capitals, where the Canucks, for the first time in, I don't know, forever, had more than 30 shots on net. They got goalied a little bit by Logan Thompson, who should be on Team Canada for the Four Nations, but that's a story for another day. And here we are talking about moral victories, because for this Canucks team that now has 6 wins in their last 18 games, a overtime loss to the Washington Capitals, in which they played really well, in fairness, is seen as a step in the right direction.
So they've got like, what, 3 losses in their last 5 games where they've only scored 1 goal?
Yeah.
But they've been like essentially 1-0 losses or 2-1 losses.
Yes.
So defensively, you know, like there have been some real, you know, steps taken by this team the last little bit, right? The generating of offense has been the thing everybody talks about so much. But if you look at, like, you know, the fact that they picked up points and the fact that defensively they've held on, it is a positive little storyline. And you mentioned the number 18. That's as many wins as the Canucks have in 40 games.
Yeah.
You know, like, you can call them loser point merchants and think that it's going to run out on them pretty soon, right?
Yeah.
You can say that, hey, the jig is going to be up, so to speak.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure that's going to happen necessarily, because I think there are some foundational things we're seeing improve, especially on the defensive front. It comes back now down to, like, generating offense. But even last night against Washington, it was one of their most complete games recently.
Yeah.
You just got to be able to score more than one goal. And I know there was a lot of talk about the defense, and I get it. Like, you know, there are a lot of things that to be frustrated about, and they certainly need help on the blue line. They need to find some upgrades on the blue line. But they didn't lose the game last night because their defensemen, outside of Tyler Myers doing something in overtime, were not defending well and not helping the team out. They didn't capitalize on their chances, and they had plenty of opportunities to get that second goal. And you said they got goal lead. There's some truth to that, right? We know they can and should be better, but you know, in all honesty, looking at the last few games, looking at last night, like they have put some pretty good performances together. They've just kind of shot themselves in the foot at key moments.
And that's really what this has come down to. You know, I think yesterday when we talked about, can you see this team finding it through the second half of the season? If they had more performances like this one against the Washington Capitals, my confidence level would be a little bit higher. The problem I have with this season is like performances like this are so few and far between. You got to go all the way back to like the Colorado and Florida games at the beginning of the month to say, or at the beginning of December, mid-December, to say that, you know, that's kind of what you would expect of the Vancouver Canucks. That's the kind of play I want to see from this team on the regular in order to have a high confidence level in them. My problem is not, oh, yeah, this team is showing a different side of itself. My problem is, like, we've only seen it a handful of times. Mm-hmm. It shows up, and then it disappears quite quickly. That's been the problem of the season for me.
It has been. I mean, they've been really inconsistent. And we even talked about inconsistent efforts and inconsistent starts. Have we seen that, though, recently? Like, as far as they've had some bad finishes. Of course, like, I'm not saying the Canucks are perfect or anything, but how many of these recent games have been, like, duds? We talked so much about they had duds where they didn't show up at all, right? There haven't been many duds, right? Like, that's something that it looks like they have turned a corner on. Go back
their
to...
Their last dud was the Boston game.
Yeah, and I mean, that's now like a month from now, right? Yeah. That was a month ago. That was December 14, and that's when the Colorado game happened. They battled through all those other games. Even the Vegas game, they lost 3-1, but that was a really tight. They played really well. They just then weren't able to get the extra goal. There's a theme here, not getting the goal when you need it, right? That's kind of been the issue. But their effort, the way they've played games, executed, for the most part, has been their most consistent stretch. Again, there are areas of their game that they can improve. The biggest thing is the meltdowns. We see with the lead, they've had their issues. Those things have to get cleaned up. But I'm not having concerns about what Canucks squad is going to show up on a given night right now. Like, I think that this is a team right now that's going to give you that effort, right? And I think when you do those things, eventually it will turn for you. And it wouldn't be shocked here, Reach, that this is kind of the last end of a bad streak for a team. They lose a couple games they deserve to win, and eventually they get on a roll. Like, it wouldn't just shock
me
that we see this team.
You're telling me, coming out of last night's game, you think the Canucks are going to go on a bit of a run here? Like, they've got a pretty rough schedule coming up over the next week.
Yeah, I mean, a run as in like they're going to win 9 out of 10 games? No, but I think they're going to start getting some victories. And I think from this point on, over the next 20 games, I wouldn't be surprised if they win 65% of their games. Like, I think they're going to get on that type of roll over the next 20 games here, where they're going to play significantly above 500. Like, I think that is going to happen, especially when you get Pettersson back. It looks like Hronek now is a couple weeks away from returning.
Yeah.
And obviously health, you can't guarantee. Who knows what can happen, you know, tomorrow night in Carolina or whatever. But given relative health and these guys coming back, I see a bit of an upswing coming from this team. Like, the season has ebbs and flows. There's 82 games. We're at the halfway point, almost 40 games into the campaign. We haven't seen an upswing from this team, really, outside of a 2-week stretch early in the season. They won those, 5 out of 6 games or whatever it was they won. But we haven't really seen them get going at all. And I think they're going to have a stretch where they get going. And based on some of the things they've done, I wouldn't be surprised if that's around the corner.
Yeah, they had a 7-2 stretch through mid-October into early November. You know, we can quibble and think back on some of those games, how well the team was actually playing during that stretch. But, you know, that's their best run of results. And you're right. Like, there is some good things here. And I can pinpoint, like, last night, they really suppressed Washington, didn't allow them to gain a lot of speed through the neutral zone. We saw how tough it was for them to really generate any kind of look at Kevin Lankinen, and especially through the second half of the game. So there was some real positives there against Montreal for large portions of that game. I mean, halfway through, Rick Tocchet even mentioned this, like, they only had like 8 shots on net midway through the second period, you know, and then we start to lose it a little bit. And Nashville, same thing, not giving up a ton. You look at a lot of these games and you'll feel like, I feel like a lot of the games that we've seen recently, midway through the game, you'll look up at the shot clock and it's like 8-8 or 8-6. Now, they're not generating enough themselves, but they're not giving much to their opponent, playing an extremely low event game. There's been times in third periods where they've lost it, and then the snowball starts to grow and they can't find a way to stop it. That's been an issue for me. We talked about that a lot yesterday. But if they clean some of that up, are they starting to play the low event type game that sets themselves up well to play well during the end of the second half of the season, but also something that plays well come postseason in April and May?
Yeah, and I think if they get to their foundation, I think these things translate well to the postseason. I think the Canucks still have a really good chance of making the playoffs. I want to see them head into the playoffs more convincingly. I want to see them hit that form because you want players to have confidence. For as much as, you know, there's a new campaign when the playoffs begin, having good confidence going to the playoffs is better than not having it and having to reach, you know, dig deep and try to figure out ways to overcome some of the issues you have. You want to see them have that belief heading into the postseason. But everything changes when you get there. And if you have that foundation of playing proper hockey, so to speak, I think you're better suited for it. I also think this team is so dependent on its star level players.
Yeah.
Most teams are, but like the Canucks even more so, right? Well, you saw what happened when Hughes wasn't in there. Now Hughes is, you know, MVP caliber.
I mean, you still see it whenever Hughes isn't on the ice.
Yeah,
they just don't generate anything.
And Hronek, I think we've talked about this week, a bigger miss than it's being discussed, and I think he's going to help. But this forward group is so dependent on having JT and Pedersen.
Yeah.
You know, and because right now, Garland's kind of going through a stretch where he's not at his best. Now, he scored on the power play, but he hasn't been driving play. Now, last night was better, but there's been a stretch where he hasn't been driving play as well as
he's been less effective lately.
Right? And it happens. Again, long season. You can't expect him to play, you know, at a 9 to 10 level every single night. It's going to happen, right? And maybe there's a reason why. And far better again from him last night. But you take the pressure off that line. You take the pressure off Suter from having to play 18, 19 minutes to all of a sudden going down to a more manageable role. And I think as much as Pedersen had his struggles, he excelled defensively, especially the last little bit, and had a lot of good overall two-way performances. When that lifts the floor of your team significantly, but more importantly, I think it slots everybody back into place. Like Pedersen, Miller, and Hughes, they're such major Jenga pieces that you take one out, everything kind of falls apart to some extent. Putting him back in, I think, is going to make a big, big difference. And I think we're all kind of hoping, can he find the next level too to his game? If he can, then we might get some pretty exciting hockey down the stretch. But even if he plays like he did before he got injured, that still lifts this team significantly offensively.
Miller's played a lot better lately. I guess the question is, what version of Elias Pettersson do you get when he returns to the lineup? Like, the thing is, like, I don't want the version of Elias Pettersson we've seen for the last almost year now. I want the version of Elias Pettersson that is a threat to score 40 goals, that is a threat to score 100 points, that can have a 4 to 5 point night and put a team on his shoulders when they need that to happen every now and again. I don't need to see it all the time, but, you know, it just, we haven't seen that level of Pettersson in a long time. And for as much as we can sit here and talk about, yeah, they found a bit of a defensive identity as a team, even though they have moments where it disappears on them. There's some good things they're putting on paper to a certain extent. Does it really mean anything if you don't get that version of Elias Pettersson back, the guy that earned the contract that he was given, over $90 million? That's why so many of these conversations, I mean, I get why they fall on deaf ears to a lot of our listeners, because it's like, well, does it really matter if Elias Pettersson isn't that version of Elias Pettersson?
Well, that's a conversation for the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, ultimately, you're not trying to win the President's Trophy. That doesn't matter. It's about the postseason. And given where Pettersson's game has been, we can't expect him to all of a sudden be the best version of himself right now. Can he improve as the season goes on? And I think the part of the frustration this year, too, has been the last, say, what, 10 years of this team's existence, you've kind of known what they're going to be year in and year out. 2014-15, they were competitive, right? Made the postseason. And then from that point on, you knew right away the following year they're not making the playoffs. Up until 2019-2020, every single year you knew this was not a playoff team. 2019-2020, get off to a great start. The pandemic hit, but you knew they were in the mix and were going to be a playoff team, and it looked like they turned a corner. Every year since then, up until last year, they were out of it in the first 2 or 3 weeks. Yeah. So right away, you knew what this team was. and you knew the hopes weren't there. Last year, good start. You knew what this team was. They were competitive, division winner. They were going to compete. This year, we don't know what the team is yet. We know that they should be a playoff team. We know they have talented players. We know they have problems. We know they have holes. But we have to let this season breathe and play out to really understand what they are. And it may sound like a cop-out, but that's just the truth, man.
Yeah.
And I'm not, you know, I would love to make a declarative statement on this hockey team. I can't. I don't think anybody can, because there's been so many ups and downs and inconsistencies, and we're only halfway through the season. And you can say, hey, what they've shown is who they are. Sure, to some extent, but they've had so many debilitating injuries, you can't even say that for sure.
Yeah.
You still have to see some more. So I think, you know, for Pettersson, all these other things, and I know the unknown can be a bit scary for many, but you kind of have to ride the wave here. But that's what we're all trying to figure out. Can these guys, can Pettersson, can they figure it out, play better hockey and hit the postseason and find a different level again?
They need it from Pettersson. Hoping he potentially returns tomorrow against the Carolina Hurricanes, and we'll see if he can find that level again. But, you know, I think it decides a lot of different things, right? You know, if you're not getting Pettersson out of whatever slump that he's been in for the last almost year, is it worth going out and spending the big asset to get a defenseman that really helps this team? Because one of the things I've learned during this recent stretch, and if I think about it, you know, if I listen back to a show from about a month ago, and you know, Hronek's going down and Miller's been out of the lineup and then Hughes gets hurt and all these things are happening all at the same time for this club, it's just like, well, you got to scratch and claw and find a way to just get through this period and keep yourself in a position to have a strong second half and then worry about your playoff seeding afterwards. And to a certain extent, they've done that. Like, I don't love the way that they've played, but as I mentioned earlier, six wins in their last 18, but you know what? They have points in 13 of those 18 games. So they are, to a certain extent, if you take the context of how some of those games have happened and how they've ended up with those loser points, maybe giving away a point in the process of gaining that loser point and some of the leads that they've blown, sure, throw the context out of the window there, but they have kept themselves afloat with an above 500 point percentage during this 18-game stretch. And to a certain level, given their roster constraints right now, I can't knock them too hard for being able to do that. But what I've really learned through this stretch, not seeing Hughes, also missing Hronek, the need for a defenseman is absolutely dire. Like, I think we've all known that, but to an even bigger degree, because if one of them is hurt, what do you really have? And even like the drop off from Hughes or from Hronek down to Myers, all due respect to Myers, and he's played pretty well through most of this time, but like that next drop off, you heard Rick Tocchet say last night, well, I can't play Hughes the whole game. What am I supposed to do? The need for that defenseman is dire with this club if they're going to really go on a run in the second half.
They don't have a top four defenseman outside of Hughes and Hronek.
Not with the way Soucy has played this year.
Last year, you could make the argument that Soucy was playing at a four. You know, some would say five, but he was kind of between that 4-5, right? You could certainly make the argument, but only played half the season. For about 70 games last year, Ian Cole was playing at a number four level, like a clear number four. He was playing 20 minutes a game, great defensively, impacting the game with his puck moving as well. Like, he was legitimately a top four defenseman. So you had Hughes and Hronek, you had Ian Cole. Yeah. So that's three top fours. Then you added Zadorov, who had some uneven up and down performances. But what did the Canucks have instead? So you can make the argument they had Myers and Zadorov playing as number fives.
Yeah.
Well, that blue line, you don't have the high end outside of Hughes and Hronek, but they were all kind of 4-5 defensemen. Right now, Soucy's playing as a five. Myers is playing as a five.
Yeah.
And the rest are like probably playing as sevens. We're doing their
replacement
best
level defenders.
Right? So there is a pretty significant drop off on this blue line from last year's blue line. And you probably need two defensemen to like be considered a tier one contender.
Yeah.
One gets you back in the mix. But you're right. Like, it's a top four defenseman. Like, this team, if they don't acquire a top four defenseman, they're probably not going to have the horses in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, and that's going to be the difference, I think. And maybe part of the equation here is because of their uneven play and the players, superstars not being at their best, how much is the organization maybe hesitant to make that move if they don't believe in the group?
Yeah.
Right? That's why it's so important here, I think, the next few weeks when Pettersson comes back, that they get going. Yeah. If they do, all things are back on the table, this team will be aggressive, and who knows where that might lead. If it doesn't, is this the year you're spending those assets on, right? Yeah. And I think that's going to have to be the determination here between now and the trade deadline.
Let's get to the Canucks Central Roundup here, as Landon Ferraro is going to join us in a few moments. Artur Shelov sent back to Abbotsford as Demko backed up last night in Washington. So can't expect Demko to get one of the next two games against Carolina and Toronto over the weekend. Philip Pronick, he was practicing in Abbotsford today. So he is back on the ice and getting himself ready to get into games, hopefully in the not so distant future with the Vancouver Canucks. But though, as his agent said, and as Rick Tocchet mentioned yesterday, he will not be playing for the Abbotsford Canucks. This is strictly a way for him to get into practice scenarios and get ramping up towards NHL games while the Canucks are away from Vancouver. JanPro, from waiting rooms to exam rooms and everything in between, JanPro keeps workplaces tidy, clean, and disinfected. For a free quote, visit janpro.ca. And HGTV has a new address. All the latest HGTV shows are now available on channel 409 on Rogers Xfinity TV. A couple of texts coming in on the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. Love the people of the show helping me out as some suggesting a heat pack will be good for the kink in the neck.
So yeah, some pretty good advice on what to do and also what not to do.
Okay.
Greg and Langley says, I tried a massage gun off Amazon. It felt like I was being punched. Do not recommend. So maybe don't order it off Amazon.
Okay. If you're going to get the massage gun, just pay up and get one of the better ones. All right. That might not be the winner's buy, the fabulous for less that you're looking for this time around. All right. Landon Ferraro is going to join us next on Sports at 650.
The most opinionated Canucks show out there. Canucks Talk with Jamie Dodd and Thomas Drance. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.